You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey, El Cheaters, welcome to the Always Changing Fantasy Podcast for March 22nd. We're brought to you this week by Bet Online. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, it's been the standard 1 week since we've podcasted.
It's been.
But it honestly feels like it's been a month. And I don't know if that's just because I'm so bored because there's no sports on television or because the world seems to be changing on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis. So I can't really keep track of the time at the moment.
Yeah, it is a weird one. The days are melting together for, I think, virtually all of us. It's sort of interesting to watch these timelines play out. Like, we were sort of, you know, we were behind Italy, but England was a little behind us, and then other, you know, it's like everyone goes through this phase that we've all sort of gone through over the last couple of weeks, where ultimately it ends with all of us behind closed doors for like 23 hours out of the day. And yeah, so it's been strange. And you know, my relationship with sports has gotten kind of weird too. Like, there's been like a lot of, like, you know, this weekend would be the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, and it's like my favorite, honestly. I hate to, like, it's almost like embarrassing to say this, but I think it's my favorite weekend of the entire year. That's how much I love this opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. And so there's been all these like sentimental, like, oh, go watch like, you know, the final from 3 years ago. And like, that was what was on CBS today. And it was like, oh, how could the tournament have played out? You know, here's like an alternate, you know, view or using stats. Like, how could this have gone? And I can't watch any of it or process any of it. I'm like, it's too close to like the real thing, but it's not it, you know? And so what I have been watching Ken Burns baseball though. And so I found a lot of solace in reading about 150-year-old baseball players. That has really been like kind of my sweet spot the last couple.
So you didn't want sports from 2 years ago. You wanted sports from 150 years ago. You had to go farther back in time.
Really? I wanted to read more about Cap Anson, and I've done that, and it's been fun.
For me, I don't really have much of a taste for going and rewatching classic matches either, because, you know, sports to most sports fans is so appealing because it's the unknown. The outcome is always relatively unpredictable, and that's what's so exciting. It's why it's unlike any other thing. So the idea of, I kind of feel the same way about movies and books. I was just telling, well, we actually, the two of us went and rewatched the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze for the umpteenth time. You know, movies like that do.
Never lose its fastball, that does it, Brandon. It doesn't.
It kind of takes my argument's legs out from under it. But I generally don't like rereading old books or rewatching movies. I want new stuff. But actually, the theme of this week's podcast is going to be a little bit of retrospection. We're going to look back in time and talk about our all-time favorite FPL players.
Yes, Brandon, we created our starting 11 of all-time favorite FPL players, including our bench. And, you know, it's actually interesting because I was talking about the Ken Burns baseball thing. And what's fun about that is it's all anecdotes. It's all stories. It's, you know, key moments. And, you know, that to me is much more interesting than like watching like a big match that happened 5 years ago. It's like, well, what I remember is the memory. What I remember is, you know, Luis Suarez hitting a free kick from 35 yards out against Norwich City, and then doing it like 18 more times against Norwich City over the
poor,
2 years.
Poor Ruddy.
Yeah. Poor Ruddy. And I remember all, you know, it's the moments that stick out. Dimitri Payet hitting a lot of free kicks. Free kicks are what, you know, often stand out for me, but you know, the Olivier Giroud starfishes, you know, after, you know, trying and failing to score in a header, these like little moments, mm-hmm. that Yaya Toure always seemed to fall down after scoring a goal. You know, just this weird moments.
He's a big lad. Yeah.
Even if he scored a penalty, I feel like he would fall down on the ground. I'm not sure how. So this is about our favorite fantasy players from, you know, really going back about 10 years. We've been playing the game for about 10 years now, starting in the, I guess it would have been the 11-12 season. Is that right?
Correct.
I think that's our first year doing fantasy. So we have a couple people who've written in with other some of their favorites as well, and those will be near the end of the pod. There's a couple that predate us. Some, I think Matt Letizier is in there and things like that. So so that's where we are. That's what we're talking about in this week's podcast. We're both going to run through our starting 11 plus bench of our favorite FPL players, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I think it will bring back some memories for a lot of listeners. There are some new players in here, but if you've been playing fantasy for a long time, I think this will be an especially fun podcast to sort of dig back into the last 10 years of FPL.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But first, what's the state of play with the Premier League and the FPL right now? Yeah. I guess it wouldn't be an FPL podcast if we just didn't check in on the present tense, on reality. So
yeah,
the latest from the Premier League is that matches are 100% postponed through the end of April, through April 30th.
Yep.
Which takes us all the way through game week 35, I believe it is.
Something like that.
So The FPL game proceeds as it has the last 2 weeks. So your team doesn't stop. FPL is not stopping. You're just getting 0 points every week. Beware of making unnecessary transfers, taking hits, because I don't know if anyone cares about for posterity what their OR is going to be at the end of the season. But
yeah,
you're still able to fall in rank if you're burning points and making transfers, even though the game's kind of in this weird liminal space.
Yeah, and let's face it, there's almost no chance that the game actually even comes back that first week of May. I think it's almost impossible, given where we are in England, and certainly in States as well. And you know, a lot of these players are presumably back home in various countries too. And so, you know, so I think that the fact that the game isn't able to stop, which does seem like that's the case. I mean, I don't know why you'd play out these game weeks where nothing happened as just like regular game weeks, if there was any way not to do it that way, mm-hmm. because it's obviously silly. I mean, that, you know, the fact that like a player could get -4 in game week 30, you know, mm-hmm. a canceled game week if they took a 4-point hit is kind of all the sign we needed. I don't think they can stop this train. So my theory, and this is pure speculation, I haven't seen anybody actually with any kind of knowledge float this, but I, you know, sounds like Okay, so the Premier League itself, it sounds like that is just very, by the way, I'll just quickly note, Brandon, that we're recording this during the day right now, so you may hear my daughter in the background a couple of times. So, it's a strange time, Brandon. These quarantined casts are a little bit different, a little bit looser.
we're all a little farther apart, but still family units are tightly packed right at the moment.
It's a cheek to jowl everywhere, I think. This David Arnstein, one of these David Arnstein articles that came out last night, and it was one of these ones where he has like full quotes somehow from all, it's like all these private meetings where you're like, are you like secretly, is David Arnstein like a pseudonym and you're actually like the president of Watford or something? And like, it's incredible the amount of detail that
Richard
comes out of
Scudamore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who knows what's, it's crazy how plugged in he seems. And so, but it sounds like they are extremely committed to playing out the rest of the Premier League season, even if it stretches into September or October. That was a quote that came from that article, which is remarkable. And it sounds like one of the key reasons why is not really about Liverpool winning the league or not. It's like they have to give back like $760 million to these TV networks if they don't play these games. So I think we will see matches hopefully by June. That would be my hope. The fantasy game is in its current form cooked. I think, I'm sorry to say it, but like this season
you don't think they could tack on additional weeks onto the game? So we'd go into 39, 40, 41, et cetera.
It takes them 12 hours to update mini leagues after four matches have been played. Like, not to be insulting or whatever, but like, I just don't know that if they can do it. I don't think they can. And even then, what happens in head-to-head leagues? What happens? They have a draft game as well. It's just there's a lot of like factors that I think make it very complicated. And so, what I think could happen is that they just basically create a 9-week league and no wild cards, no chips, and it's like you just start over from zero for the final 9 weeks. I think that could happen. I also think there's a chance they just scrape the FPL game for the final 9 matches, and it'd be 9 weeks of pure watches. Now, again, these probably wouldn't be stretched over 9 weeks. These would be like, I would assume there'd be a lot of midweek games in there as well. I think we could expect the season to start later next year. I've heard talk that they may just scrap a bunch of international breaks and things like that. So it could be fun, from a fantasy perspective. If you think international breaks are kind of a drag, you could just have uninterrupted football basically from June through through Christmas. That could be kind of fun.
I don't know. I just think that there's such a domino effect. If they try to fulfill this broadcast obligation and go into September and October, that of course eats into the next season, and it goes on and on and on and on. And you've still got this Qatar situation that's interrupting seasons a couple into the future. I just think there is a lot of another great quote from that Ornstein article you mentioned was from a Premier League executive who said, at the end of the day, we're all just businesses turning a tiny profit. I'm like, I don't think that these guys are full of bluster and pride at the moment. And I think like a lot of people out there that are strictly thinking about money right now just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
They've got their head in the sand.
I think the relegation and promotion part of it, too, is a factor. And there was one thing that was – we keep referencing this article that like probably 10 people who are listening have actually read. But they well, I don't know. It was on The Athletic, which I don't know, a lot of people have The Athletic now, right? It's like it's really popular. But
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless. One thing they talk about in there is that if they were to cancel the season, you would have you could have lawsuits on both sides, depending on what they did with promotion relegation. Like if you didn't relegate anybody, then Leeds and West Brom could sue the Premier League. If you did relegate people, then Aston Villa, which has a game in hand, could also sue the Premier League. It's like, there's really – it makes it very tricky.
What's the legal precedent? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but we're throwing your lawsuit out because of points to global pandemic.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, but I think the sponsors ask or the networks asking for their money back is the biggest factor. And I don't know if they just like raise a middle finger or what, in that case. But I'm not. This isn't a sports business podcast. But I think that's what makes me think that we actually will see matches this season. But I don't know. We'll see. But I just think fantasy is like way down on the table as far as what's going to happen there. And, it's way down on the table. Sports in general are obviously they are what they are. I mean, I love sports. I wish they were back. Not having sports is It's a lot. I'm watching a lot of, like, I'm watching the baseball documentary. These are 2-hour episodes, Brandon. I would never have the time for this otherwise.
We're watching Babylon Berlin right now. A great Netflix show. And you need your undivided attention because it's in German. So I'm reading subtitles. So usually if sports is happening, if I'm tracking my FPL team, price team changes, bonus points, all sorts of incoming information, I'm looking at my phone while I'm watching a television show. Now I have nothing to track, so I can just watch subtitled movies and TV shows until the end of day.
If you have not seen, if you're listening, you haven't seen Parasite yet, now is your time, right? Like, this is your...
There you go.
You have no excuse anymore. All right, so we're going to get to our starting 11 of favorite fantasy players in just a second. A couple of quick thank yous, though, for new patrons. Thank you to new patrons. It's obviously a really tricky time. A lot of people have lost their, have lost their jobs, or been laid off, in the last few weeks. And so we really appreciate anyone who can continue to support the podcast on Patreon. We have suspended, or that is to say canceled, all Patreon payments for the month of April. So no one will be charged for the next month, which is the month you would, in theory, be charged in the 1st of April. That is just completely waived. No one will be charged. The way the site works, there is a little bit, like, I think you have to pledge once before you can actually get access to everything and join. But after that, you won't be charged anything in April. And that applies to all current patrons as well. So a quick thank you to Adele Booth, our newest Volkswagen patron, somebody we also met and had a very enjoyable time talking to with her friends, including a Canadian. It was like a real mix, Brandon. We had a Canadian, and I think she was from Leeds. And so it was really... It's a good mix. Yeah. So she'll be rocking out Always Cheating t-shirt sometime soon. Lord Sorloth patron, thank you to Matt Marks. And a new Pookie patron, thank you to Ben John. So thank you to our newest patrons. And if you'd like to support the podcast, or more likely, if you just are bored and you want more people to talk, just talk about anything with, our Slack channel is amazing. It is really, it's almost... it's as good, if not better, right now. There's like new channels getting formed all the time. It's
turning into a tiny little town. We've got a food channel, a beer channel, TV, movies. There's a chess, now people are collaborating on a there's a chess channel. People are collaborating on a giant Always Cheating Spotify playlist with it, which is awesome. And also, if anyone out there is on the Patreon and is playing FIFA on their Xbox or PlayStation 4, we've got a FIFA channel too. So I watched the highlights of Mikel Antonio taking on Ryan Sessegnon in the London Derby FIFA final. They were streaming this yesterday. Mikel Antonio got his butt absolutely kicked by Ryan Sessegnon. I felt kind of bad for him. You could see that Antonio was struggling with, should he put himself up front in the West Ham lineup at the expense of Sebastian Haller? And he was trying to be political and not like dig at his teammates' FIFA profiles. It was pretty funny.
That's funny. So that's where you can find that. So you can actually join the Slack at the lowest pledge tier. So go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to learn more. And we'll take a break. We'll be back in just a second. All right, Brad, we're back. We're running through our starting 11 of all-time favorite fantasy players. And I was trying to think about the best way to do this. And how about if... I'll read off my 11 and then in my bench, and then you can read off yours. Okay. And we can just sort of discuss as we go. And, I can see in the running list here, we've got a couple that are duplicates. And so we can just talk about them, as we go.
Sure.
All right. So in most cases, I have picked players from a single season. In a few cases, I picked players from a number of seasons. It sort of depends on how they sort of like exist in my memory. Right. Okay. So in some cases, it was one amazing season. In other cases, it's sort of like a block of time. Like when we talk about Ivanovic in a minute, there's like the Ivanovic era in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. So anyway, these are just my favorite players. When I think about the last 10 years of playing fantasy, these are kind of the names that I remember the most, or like when I think about them, or like, when I sort of think about key moments in my season over the years, it has involved these players. So.
Right.
Without further ado, very boring way to start, but Tom, my goalkeeper, my all-time for a fantasy playlist.
Speaking of boring, Joshua.
Speaking of boring, it's even a boring name. His name is Tom Heaton, Brandon. Uh-huh. And he, I picked Tom Heaton from the 14, 15, and 16, 17 seasons. If you recall, they were, Burnley were relegated. And so, so 14, 15, he was great. Came back at 16, 17, was also great. He was 4.5 million both seasons. Across those two seasons, he had 20 clean sheets and 32 bonus points. Mm-hmm. And this has always been the story of how I've played fantasy. I've always had cheap keepers. I've never – now, you for many, many years, you were in the expensive keeper category. I feel like you were you loved a David De Gea or somebody
expensive. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to my lineup, but it's true. Okay. I have long-standing great memories with premium keepers.
So Heaton is – I mean, do you have any memories of Heaton? He was just a classic – cheap, great fantasy asset, right? Like he was, you know, set up, set and forget kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, Heaton is just a great shot stopper. And beyond FPL, I just think of him as he looks just kind of like a beefy guy who you might live next door to, yet he's still capable of those giant, you know, spread out frog leaping saves.
Very easy to think of him like in a suit, like in Parliament or something, right? Like I feel like
I wouldn't go that far.
I feel like I could just imagine him like kind of like in a very formal dress, you know, like, I don't know. That's a,
yeah, he seems like he probably knows how to hold a conversation. I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Normal. I guess that's what I mean. I don't know. Are people in Parliament normal though? Probably not. All right. So let's move on from the boring start there. You always have to start with the goalkeeper, but it's almost never the most interesting pick. So next one, and I guess I'm moving roughly in order. By the way, this is a 3-4-3 formation, Brandon, the classic fantasy formation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I got three at the back. I start off with Leighton. This actually will take you from 2011 to 2018, Brandon. So I've got Leighton Baines from 2011 to 2015, and he was the ultimate defensive asset, maybe before the Trent Alexander-Arnold era anyway, a penalty-taking defender. Oh, I mean, Leighton Baines, he was always too expensive. That was always the thing with Leighton Baines was he was an amazing fantasy player. You always wanted him in your team, and it was just whether you could stomach having a 7 or whatever he was, 7.5 million defender in your team. And, you know, I think both of us, I bet if I look back, and there's really no way to do this, but I bet I had him for at least like 70 weeks during this like 4-year run.
And I believe there was one game week in which he scored he took pens, but he also took direct set pieces. And I think there was one match where he scored on two direct free kicks on either side of the 18-yard box. And it was incredible. But I think like Leighton Baines is the end of an era. He was the ultimate defender hack. Where, I can get a defender plus he can get attacking points.
Yeah.
And he had to make way for the likes of Marcus Alonso and then the Liverpool fullbacks who actually were inside the 6-yard box on certain attacks. So I feel like Baines is now kind of the old guard in terms of his play style and what he brought to FPL.
A little bit of old guard, a little bit of kind of, I guess some players kind of keep this tradition alive, but he was very like, he seemed like a guy you could like go have a beer with, you know, like I remember
sensing a theme here, Josh.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's the beer summit starting 11. but I mean, he was, you know, he's like 5'5". I remember he was like really into, I think it was like, he's like a big Mogwai fan or something. He was like, I know he had like really good taste in music. And I read some article with him around whatever it was, 8 or 9 years ago now. And I was like, wow, this guy seems like cool. Like he had kind of longish hair. Looks like an elf. And so I was just looking back, but he did actually have, I think this has to be the highest price ever for a defender. He was 8 million as a starting price in the 2011-2012 season.
It's outrageous for Everton.
Insane. And of course he had his worst season kind of all these, like this whole era that year. Yeah. But just a really fun player to have in the game and just a fun player, easy player to root for, especially because he played for Everton. So it was like, you rarely had to like, you know, no matter what team he supported, it wasn't like he was typically, maybe outside of like Liverpool fans, like he was never a player who you just like had to dislike, you know, cause he was going to cost you, you know, the title or Champions League spot or something. All right, the next two I'm going to take together. This takes us from 2012 to 18, Brent. It's 7 years of Chelsea defenders, and you start with Ivanovic and you end with Alonso. Uh-huh. And Ivanovic, in some ways, I guess, again, before Trent, I feel like Liverpool have changed the game a little bit with their like hyper-attacking defenders, but I sort of still think of Ivanovic as kind of the ultimate defender, the ultimate fantasy defender. It was like he got clean sheets, he had goals, he played like every match, like he was never injured. For years and years, he could be counted on to score a goal in the first match of the season. It's like this weird thing, or like you had to have him at the start of the year.
There was one season where Chelsea had, I think it was because of
Super Cup,
some
maybe?
European, the Super Cup, right? And they had a double game week the first week, and everyone had brought in Ivanovic, and he goes and scores. Did he score in both matches? Or he had a goal and a clean sheet in the first, and then a clean sheet in the second.
Or something. Yeah, it was like a 20-point haul.
Total lord. But I feel like that season ended with him just kind of petering out and getting a bunch of yellow cards, but that's just how I'm remembering it in my mind.
Yeah, who knows? But I just, when I think about those early years of fantasy, it feels like Ivanovic was like an ever-present dude, just like a big hulking kind of scary dude, you know, the opposite of Leighton Baines in virtually every way.
Would you have a beer with him?
Sure, yeah, but I'd have a gun, you know, I'd be careful.
So in a social distancing situation, you'd
be 6 feet away. Yeah. and then from there you go to Marcus Alonso, who had a moment where he was, and I can't confirm this now, Brian, I don't have the data at hand. There was a moment in the 2016-17 season where he was 100% owned in the game, where all 6.5 million managers had Marcus Alonso on his team. He was about as essential as anyone's ever been essential in fantasy. He was just on this incredible goal-scoring terror. And that was this run where they just could not – no one could score on them. It was like – you remember this? How many clean sheets in a row it was? It was some crazy number. Like 10, 11, something
I don't,
like that.
Yeah, I don't remember the number, but it was like when Alonso wasn't scoring, he was the John Lundstrom of his day, Marcus Alonso. When he wasn't super scoring size. Or assisting, he was getting those clean sheets.
And he's just a fun player too. I mean, he's kind of, and you know, he sort of with Conte, he sort of introduced the wing back style, or maybe reintroduced it to the Premier League.
Five at the back, right?
The five at the back, and the, you know, and it's him bursting forward, and he was on some free kicks as well. Just a, you know, cool mane, just a kind of a like a
great hair,
great hair, and I mean, you have to love Alonso, right, Brandon? Who doesn't love Alonso?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people who have ridden in cars with Marcus Alonso might take issue with that. But apart from that, just
cars
thumbs
in
up.
Front of him. Yeah. 13
Alonso
goals.
In cars. It was the Seinfeld comedians in cars getting coffee. We should have Marcus Alonso in cars with football players getting coffee.
13 goals.
That'd be in poor taste.
13. Yeah. I was just going to roll past that one. 13 goals, 7 assists, 28 clean sheets across 2 years. 28 clean sheets across 2 years is a massive number. That really is impressive.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I mean, Ivanovic and Alonso, I love this because if you were to say get an FPL dream team in the defense, if I would look at any team, it would be Chelsea. You would just go. And again, the caveat that goes through all of this is we're really only looking back to 2011 and no earlier than that, because that's when we started. But Chelsea is the team. They're the defensive FPL team.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, and who wants to listen to podcasts where we talk about like 1970s fantasy assets or whatever? It'd be read a bunch of books first. It'd be, you know.
Sure.
all right. So let's move on to the midfield. Got a 4-man midfield here, Brent. This isn't necessarily in order, by the way, the next four. Okay. So this is fantasy style where they're haphazardly strewn across my midfield. So David Silva I have first, and I specifically have David Silva in the 2011-2012 season. Okay.
Six, sort of a
forerunner to KDB in many ways. 6 goals, 17 assists. And my note here is he is the player that good seasons are built on, right? Uh-huh. You get a player like David Silva and you just plug him in. And I remember this season, it was like he very rarely had double digit returns that season. It was like 9, 9, 8, 8, you know, and it was just like incredibly consistent, like metronomic, you know, just like every single week he was getting attack and returns. Right. And, you know, when you win fantasy, it's like, it's not often about getting the captain right. It's about having like the proper balance in your squad. Mm-hmm. And he was the ultimate balance player, under 10 million. I think he was 9.5 million that season, or 9 million, something like that. And he just, you know, he was the great sort of plug him and forget about him, you know, midfield asset.
There was a season of Survivor where the winner of Survivor was the first person to ever win without ever having a single vote cast against them. And it's because they just were under the radar the entire time. And at the end of the season, they were like, surprise, I won, because you all just thought I was nice and kind of harmless. Yeah. And that's David Silva to me.
Yeah. And also, of course, a wonderful player to watch play. And I think that's true of everyone I have in this 11, is at least in the season that I picked them for, they were super fun to watch. I mean, even Ivanovic is kind of fun just because he had such a, I don't know, Tom Heaton. Was Tom Heaton fun to watch? good shot stopper, I guess. All right. So I move on from David Silva. I mean, everyone knows David Silva. I move on to Michu, Brandon. And Michu in the 2012-2013 season came out of nowhere, Brandon. A bolt of lightning in the fantasy game. 18 goals, 3 assists, and a great League Cup win to boot. I'm so glad he got that League Cup win, you know, sort of. It makes it such a memorable season for Swansea, you know, because I think that I don't know what their record was at the end of that season, but they'll always have that League Cup win. And it really, it was the two legs against Chelsea that I remember so well. And that was when Eden Hazard kicked the ball boy. Do you remember that moment? And that was a great controversy. But Michu had was also, if you look up the green kit that that Swansea wore in that 12, it was like you know, their second road kit or whatever, the third kit,
right?
Yeah, it was this beautiful green and red kit, and it is my favorite, maybe my single favorite kit in the history. Maybe we'll have to do a kit podcast, Brandon. We're gonna have a lot of weeks to fill here. Weekend kits, I don't know.
I have this aversion to things that are green and red because they're so closely tied to Christmas. It's just something I can't separate in my mind.
It doesn't feel that way, though. I don't know. It doesn't look that way on the.
It's like post Christmas.
Yeah, I'll share a photo with you later. But it was a great kit. He had this incredible goal celebration too, where he would shake. I'm actually doing it as I talk to you. He'd sort of shake his hands by his ears.
He cupped his hand around his ears and like it was like a tune in Tokyo sort of a thing.
Yeah. And he would just sort of shake them a little bit. But it was very cool. And like, I've never seen anybody else do it, at least not every time they score the way he does. And
Mitrovic does something kind of similar to that. But Michu was definitely the first person I've ever seen do it.
Yeah. And a cool name, Michu. I mean, like, how awesome is that?
Yeah, you've got these players like Willian, and you're like, okay, he's just got one name. But then you go to his, you know, his player profile, and it's, you know, five other names attached to Willian. You go to Michu's profile, and it's just Michu.
And there must have been 5 million nice to Michu fantasy team names for a couple of years there. It was the great pun name for a long time. And until Christian Fuchs really joined the Premier League, it was the great
they're almost anagrams name for each other, Michu and Fuchs.
That's true. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, so from there I go to Raheem Sterling, but I am picking him specifically in the 2012 to 2014 seasons. In those 2 years, he had a 4.5 million and 5.5 million starting price. His attack and returns during those years are just okay. But what I like about them is one of the things that's fun about fantasy, and you've talked about this a lot, and I don't talk about it enough, you talk a lot about how the fantasy game is like a different way to look at the Premier League, right? It's like it shouldn't hurt you as a fan. It should make the game even more fun, right? Like it sort of brings out new parts, you know. So what I like about a player like Sterling, and I'm trying to think of an example from this current season. You know, maybe it's the, I don't know. I was trying to think of like, I guess it's Traore. Traore is this kind of player a little bit, but it's like, it's really fun when a young player starts to break out and you think that you're seeing a major star. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I guess, is maybe the better example here, where it's like, this player is going to be great. Like, he's going to be amazing. And we get to watch it happen. Like, we're going to get to watch the whole arc of his career, you know? Yeah.
And remember when you said that about Nicholas Bentner?
That's true. I'm still saying it. I don't think it's over for him. Uh-huh. The story has not been written, Brandon.
No, it's not over.
But do you know what I'm saying about Sterling?
I do know what you're saying. He went from just this stud at Liverpool who, you know, you could see the raw talent, but which way is he going, to the talisman of Manchester City until, you know, bar current form.
Sure.
As well as England. And
yeah.
And he's also become like a focal point in the press. Like when, I mean, I'm for bad press toward him, but he is rising above it in this way where he's a leader amongst players for the game at large. And I just really respect him for that.
Yeah. It's a crazy arc. And, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I think that he really has like a kind of very surprisingly in some ways, but he's like really emerges a kind of moral authority in it. You know, it's like, he's really, he says his mind, but in a way that's really smart and impressive. You know, I feel like he kind of, he's an easy guy to like, despite his current form, as you said. All right. final midfielder. How could I not note him? Mo Salah, the 17-18 season. Brandon, I bring this up way too often on the podcast, but do you remember when we did our price prediction podcast, what you thought Mo Salah's starting price would be and what you said about him?
Did I say like 6.5? I do remember the exact phrase that I used to describe him was, Mo Salah will be wildly inessential this season. And he went on to have the greatest FPL season in history.
Right. 32 goals, 12 assists, a 9 million starting price. It was amazing. And it was crazy because no one could quite believe it until about January. I got it a little earlier than you did on the Salah train. And, but even I wasn't there right at the start. It was, you kind of couldn't quite believe, you know, it was like you had to, it was just amazing. You're like, is he going to keep it up? You know, and it was like after 10 goals, is he going to keep this up? After 15 goals, is he going to keep this up? And it just kept going and going. And then suddenly it was like, this guy is going to break the record for most goals in a season. You know, it was this incredible. And he is the most, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't love Mo Salah, especially that season. He was just so lovable. It was just everything about his game was pure joy. You know, I mean, it really was.
Yeah. It's to what you were saying about Sterling and what a joy it is to see the arc of a player like that. But Salah, arc aside, to bear witness to a player at the peak of their powers and to be intimately a part of it in terms of watching him play week in, week out, and also getting those juicy FPL points.
Yeah.
Truly awesome. And there's like, we will not allow any all-time favorite FPL player list on this podcast that doesn't include Mo Salah. Just look at the numbers.
The numbers are incredible. And honestly, he's been pretty great the last couple of years as well. And, you know, maybe he'll never get as, you know, he'll never soar as high as he did that first year, but incredible. All right. So I'll pick up at the pace here a little bit, Brandon. We got three forwards here. First one, I don't know what he, if you're under a certain age, how, you know, what, where he fits in your consciousness. But Robin Van Persie, specifically from the 2011 to 13 seasons, 56 goals, 29 assists across two different clubs. And it was amazing. I mean, I was very bitter about this because this was back when Arsenal could still hurt me, Brandon. They'll never do that again. But they traded him off to Manchester United because the little boy inside Robin Van Persie wanted to be there. And the whole thing was awful. I don't know how you trade him to a Champions League rival. It was all very weird. I'm clearly not over it. You know, it's been 7 years.
I think Ferguson had a lot to do with it. And I think that Van Persie probably knew it was Ferguson's last season when he went there, because he gave Ferguson basically all the, how could you not give him all the credit when he walked away with that league title at the end of the season? And
yep.
I think it was probably just one of those, much like we're seeing with Igalo right now. You can't refuse a move to Manchester United if it's there on the table.
Yeah. I guess that's true. And honestly, that was such a miserable time.
He was the Igalo of his day, Josh, is what I'm saying.
It's true. It's just like, he was like the club captain. It was just it was a hard one. But I will say, if I had to pick a single favorite player to watch from all of the players that I have here, I would say that Robin Van Persie during that run was my favorite Premier League player. I just loved he's like the perfect player. You know, it's like his form is incredible and his accuracy.
He's Roger Federer-esque.
He is. It's like Federer-esque. Yeah, it's just like he's just like the perfect striker. And so, yeah, I've always loved Van Persie. And honestly, I mean, I think he's, you know, if he had been at a club that was consistently winning the league, you know, during his like real major prime, I think he'd be thought of even, you know, even higher, you know, playing. He sort of did some of his best work, you know, under some pretty unhappy Arsenal teams. So anyway, move on from there to Luis Suarez from 2012-2014. I picked him here, and I don't even have stats here, but I just wrote unstoppable. He was so good during those last 2 years at Liverpool. What can you say, Brandon, about Luis Suarez? What would you say? As Dave Matthews says, Brandon, what would you say?
Well, he reminded me of ants marching, if you want me to put it another way. Mm-hmm. No, he was an absolute FPL mercenary. And if you – I mean, there are certainly ways to frame Luis Suarez as a joy to watch in that Van Persie way. But his game – to watch him was slightly different. Like, he stepped onto the pitch and, you know, you can see through his let's call them unconventional tactics, i.e. Racist abuse and biting. Mm-hmm. He was just so consumed by winning that it was electric to watch him play for Liverpool. Yeah,
it was. And he, you know, he could kind of score every way. You know, not as elegant as a Van Persie, but, you know, he could score in free kicks. He could score, like you said, that kind of aggressive. He'd bite Ivanovic's arm off, right, to score a goal. And obviously, you know, he kind of like bit his way out of the Premier League in some ways. But I guess he did go to Barcelona, though. It worked out fine for him.
I think that's kind of what he wanted.
Worked out great. Yeah. Keep biting. Yeah, it clearly worked. I think you've got Suarez on your list, too. So I'll move past Suarez. To the final player in my starting 11, I wanted someone who's a little bit cheaper. And so I picked Charlie Austin from the 2014-15 season. It was my second best finish ever. It was during this season. And Austin had 18 goals, 8 assists, a 6 million starting price. It's that QPR, and hit a memorably amazing double game week. It was one of those funny little double game weeks that pops up sometimes where it's two teams that have double and they're kind of crap teams. And you're like, do I even focus on them or do I just ignore them? And I went all in on him and Christian Benteke. And it was like the best Benteke has ever been was this one double game week. And it was kind of the key moment of my season. And so, you know, but Charlie Austin, I always thought he was kind of a fun player, a real scrapper. You know, I don't think he's a super talented player, you know, I just think that he gets everything out of his game, you know, everything out of his ability. And I've always thought he was a really fun player to watch.
Definitely great for a good presser after the match as well. Just a total lad. It's a joke.
That brings me to the bench, and I don't think we need to go through all of these, but I'll just quickly run through my bench, and maybe we'll take a quick break after that, Brandon, before we get to your 11. Build up the drama a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so Asmir Begovic in the 12-13 season, 12 goals, 12 goals. That'd be amazing. A goalkeeper, 12 goals. That'd be incredible.
Essential.
That would be essential. No, he had 12 clean sheets as a 4.5 million goalkeeper at Stoke, and he was a hashtag cool guy. Mm-hmm. Begovic plays fantasy. He's a nice guy. Everybody seems to like that guy. And I had a hard time with a backup keeper spot, I have to say. So I'll be curious when we talk about yours in a second here.
Sure.
And then midfield, I've got Mahrez, and I suspect, do you have Mahrez on your list anywhere? You don't.
He's an honorable mention for me, for sure. I mean, it's hard to deny him that league-winning season where he was just a madman. Madman.
He probably should be in over Michu in that midfield spot. But Mahrez, 17 goals, 6 assists, 5.5 million starting price. Maybe he didn't make my bench because I didn't have him for a lot of this. I was stubbornly holding out, and that came back to haunt me. And then Trent Alexander-Arnold, not much that we need to say about him because we talk about him on virtually every podcast. But last year, just as a reminder, 1 goal, 13 assists. And a 5 million starting price. Insane.
Not bad.
Not bad. And then the last one is a sentimental pick for me. It was Danny Simpson during the 11-12 season, a 4 million defender branded on Newcastle United. Started, I think, every match that season, and he was on my team the entire season. Maybe the last time since I've done fantasy where I've had a player all 38 weeks of the season. I mean, what is fantasy if not looking for those 4 million defenders that you can just
hold on? I'm looking up what Danny Simpson is up to right now. Do you know what Danny Simpson is doing right now?
No, I don't actually. Is he a free agent? I feel like he might not be with a club.
He's had 22 appearances for Huddersfield Town since they went down last season. So,
oh,
there you go. Good. Okay, he's still kicking.
All right, he'll be back up when Huddersfield get promoted this year. I'm sure that's going to happen.
That's what all those lawsuits are about, right?
So that's my list. I'm sure there's some great people that I left off. I know you're going to talk about it a lot more in your section. So let's take a quick break, Brandon, and when we get back, you'll run through your starting 11.
Excellent.
Plus your bench. Plus your honorable mentions, maybe. We'll see.
Hey, guys. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might be thinking there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. Or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. My God, that is a lot of money. If you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, which we were just talking about, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, even the weather. Visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. And be sure to use that promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. Go to betonline.ag, your online wagering experts.
And we're back. All right, Brandon, let's get your starting 11. I know there's a couple of double ups here, but I will, I'm just going to hang back for a minute. I did a lot of talking in that last section. This is your time to shine. Don't blow this opportunity. You only get one shot.
Two M&Ms, huh?
Yeah.
Right. I love this. All right. Yeah, a few double ups, but I'll try to bring something different to those players, talk about them in a little slightly different way. But you hinted at this with your Tom Heaton call out, Josh, the difference between the bargain basement goalkeeper who does you well, the Nick Popes and Tom Heatons of the world, and the best times I've had in FPL, the best seasons I've had, have come from premium goalkeepers. And that's why David De Gea gets the start for my all-time favorite FPL lineup. And you know, De Gea had a slow start at Manchester United, and he's not in the best form at the moment. But I will never forget the match he had against Arsenal in which, yes, he conceded one goal, but he had 14 saves. And it was the most exquisite. I don't remember if it was 8 or 9 points that he had that match. But it was the most exquisite FPL goalkeeper performance I have ever seen.
You talk about memories. I was there. I was sitting next to you during that match. And well, we've told the story before about you talking to the man, being too embarrassed to tell him you're cheering because of fantasy. It's we don't need to retell that, but it's a great story.
Yeah.
Dig through our archives to find it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's back there somewhere. That was during the 17-18 season. I think that was the peak of De Gea's powers. And I remember a match against Liverpool just earlier than that, an earlier season when Sterling, I think, was still at Liverpool. But I think for that FPL game week, I really needed a lot of people with Liverpool attackers to blank, and De Gea put on like a classic clinic and, you know, should not have had a clean sheet, but somehow managed to keep it. So David De Gea straight in there into my all-time favorites. Now I've got a repeat here in my defense. You know, I'm going 3-4-3, just like you, Josh.
Sure.
So we've got classic. A repeat. Yeah.
It would have been funny if you had gone five at the back. That would have been funny.
I do have a few weird honorable mentions here. I always had a soft spot for weird defenders like Ryan Bertrand or Ashley Williams. Fun fact, do you know Ashley Williams' middle name? Of course you don't.
I don't know.
It's Ashley Errol Williams.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. That's a nice middle name. And also, yeah, I don't see James Ward-Prowse on here either, Brett. I know he's one of your pet players too.
Yeah, he was a classic. Bench fodder player for a while. Nacho Monreal, probably the defender that I was most on the bubble for.
the hardest cut.
The hardest cut for Nacho Monreal. But yeah, you've got to go Marcus Alonso. He's just a slam dunk. I mean, two seasons on the bounce, six goals, three assists in 16-17, then seven goals, two assists, and racking up those clean sheets. Absolutely unreal. And the season in which he, 16-17, only 30 starts in that season. Yeah, so he's right. Like Trent Alexander, Arnold territory, where you didn't really know if Alonso was going to get benched any given week.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 starts is pretty good, all things considered.
It's the classic like new manager move, though, where it's like, I'm going to like roll out your guys for a while, mm-hmm. and then you guys can see that it's not working. You know, it's like, I'm going to like basically set the old guys up to lose so that I can introduce my new players. And
yeah,
you know,
So my two other starting defenders, Gareth McCauley, and you know, you've got to make room for the cheap guys. I think you to have a starting 11 of favorite FPL assets, and they're all just huge point getters. You've got to make room for West Bromwich Albion defenders, cheap 4.5 guys. Gareth McCauley has the infamous goal, the 16-17 season, game week 37 against West Ham. We all remember it. It's the corner kick, like at the end of the match. Both Johnny Evans and McCauley go up, and it looks like Johnny Evans has scored. Johnny Evans turns around, and he's ready to celebrate. And he sees, oh, wait, why is Gareth McCauley celebrating like he's just scored? And it was a conspiracy theory in the FPL circles for quite some time.
I mean, you're still talking about it today. So, yeah, three years.
Yeah, so maybe just by virtue of that, but I still thought McCauley was always one of those great options where you're like, you know, I need a 4.5 defender from a bottom of the table outfit that's going to keep a fair amount of clean sheets. And there
that's fair. You know, that actually reminds me, who was the Egyptian who was 4 million? It might have been that same season.
Hagazi.
Hagazi, right?
Yeah.
Hagazi was a great asset that year too. 4 million started the entire season, I believe.
We'll round it out with Andy Robertson. You know, Trent, I think he's not blowing Robertson out of the water. If you look at last season, 18-19, Robertson had nine more starts than Trent did, which kind of boosted his numbers. But 11 assists and 21 clean sheets. Yeah. It's astounding. So just kind of by virtue of his reliability.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. But Trent has taken a little of his shine, hasn't he? Like he's stolen a little of Rabo's shine.
Yeah, we do this list a couple years from now, and obviously it's going to be Trent. But I think Andy Robertson deserves a little love here. So those are my three at the back. And moving into the midfield, I was shocked to see Alexis Sanchez wasn't in your list. I mean, this guy is... There was a three-season stretch there where he was the player in which great seasons were built upon.
Yeah.
And you look at the 16-17 season in which he had 24 goals and 10 assists. Ridiculous.
It was Michu or Alexis, Brennan. I made my choice. Okay. I'm going to have to live with
that. Well, I'll show you how it's done, Josh, because I could also fit Michu into my midfield here. And Alexis Sanchez, like, I don't know what we had to say about him. I mean, that season, 16-17, when he had those 24 goals and 10 assists, just awesome. Unbeatable. Then he uses that season to move to Manchester United and all of his power was drained at that point.
Yeah, maybe that was why I didn't do it. I'm still bitter. I RVP still cracked my team, but I couldn't have two players who used a good Arsenal season to springboard their way to Manchester United. That was too much. Yeah,
fair enough. But just an absolute legend there. But yeah, Michu, I think Michu makes it into both of our favorite FPL player lineups just because you remember those players that you said like a bolt of lightning, like out of thin air.
Yeah.
You remember only the good times with Michu. He came and he left as quickly as he entered our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think he suffered a really terrible injury after that 12-13 season and then got shipped off, and that was the rest of it. But to watch Michu play in that 12-13 season, it was a little bit like watching Van Persie. He had that Federer-esque sort of elegance. And it was that feeling that you love as an FPL manager where you know something that everyone else doesn't. I mean, a lot of FPL managers quickly cottoned on to the fact that Michu was great, but the rest of the like Premier League watching world wasn't like, oh, Michu, this is an important player that we need to pay attention to on Swansea.
Yeah.
So I think he's a player that we can claim as FPL managers.
That's a good, yeah, I think you're right. I think we remember him better than than Joe Fan. So yeah, I agree.
Right. Okay, so my other two midfielders, Gareth Bale. I'll never forget going to see a movie with my parents on Boxing Day, day after Christmas, right before Spurs was kicking off. And movie's done, credits roll, immediately whip out the mobile phone, see what the score was. Oh, Gareth Bale hat trick, no problem, great. And he was a wizard that his last season in the Premier League, that same Michu season actually, 12-13, where, you know, the chips were down, 88th minute, Spurs needed a goal, and it was just a screamer from out of nowhere from Bale, and boom, 5 points plus 3 bonus points, and everyone was happy.
I remember that still too, because I remember the annoyance I felt about not captaining him, and I don't know why that sticks with me so vividly all these years later. But he was. I mean, I talked about players who were fun to watch. I mean, Bale that year, really the all the years leading up to that too, but especially that final season, he was just a joy to watch. I mean, he was so great. You know, it was kind of easy to forget now with all the drama at Real Madrid, you know, but he was just like he was very easy to like, you know, those years, you know, just a really fun player.
Definitely. And my fourth and final midfield slot, I had lots of runners up, like Yaya Toure during that 13-14 season, absolute masterclass of FPL. Yes. Mesut Ozil with his 19 assists in 15-16. You mentioned Dimitri Payet earlier in the pod, and he's up there with Michu, and that sort of like, you gave us one brilliant season and then you left, and I'll always remember that.
Yeah.
But ultimately I had to go with Mo Salah. You just can't argue with it. And, you know, it might be a recency pick, but these just FPL numbers are huge. And I still think the case is there to be made that you were making, Josh, of to watch him play, even as a fan, was undeniable that 17-18 season.
So what can I say that I haven't already said, Brandon? Kind of unfair that I went first, isn't it? So anyway, let's
the weirdest, as I was dipping through various record books at midfield players, the one guy that sort of really came back from the middle of nowhere was Stefan Sessegnon from Sunderland, the 2011-12 season.
The great late double game week goal. I captained him that week.
Yeah. So much respect to all the Sessegnons of the world. All right. So moving into my front three, Luis Suarez. Yes, definitely. We already talked about him. And I think what I could say about Luis Suarez is there are seasons like the one that we are currently sort of grappling with, 19-20, where, you know, the conch shell kind of moves from player to player. Who's hot and who's not.
Yeah.
That 13-14 season, Luis Suarez was the player that you needed. You could build an entire season around him like an immovable FPL asset. And to have that kind of faith in an FPL player is just really makes you so happy when you wake up on a Saturday that, you know, your captain Suarez is playing, magic is going to happen. And that certainty is something that I really always remember for Luis Suarez.
I've not really had that this year. I agree.
Robin Van Persie, same as you, Josh. Also for the same reasons, like just a player who is a great FPL asset, who is just really beautiful to watch. And even when he made that move to Manchester United, still came through with 26 goals and nine assists. Just a lovely player. So this is where it gets challenging, right? I've got one more forward spot. I've already gone for two sort of set and forget options with Suarez and RVP. Do I want to give this last forward spot to like a sentimental favorite? If that were the case, it would probably be, you know, hold on to your butts here. Graciano Pelé. When he was at Southampton, had some great moments with Graciano Pelé.
Oh yeah.
Then he went off to China to become like the highest paid player in the history of the world.
Well, you and I watched him in the Dutch League. Remember we used to watch
we'd turn on the Dutch League and then we would make bets like, all right, when's the next goal? And you would take a 5 minute stretch in the in the match, and I'd take another 5 minute stretch.
Every match is like 7-5, you know. So it's it's fun to bet on.
My other possible boy on the bubble was Diego Costa. And I was like, can I have two shit heels on one list? If I have Luis Suarez, can I also have Diego Costa?
He was on an earlier draft of this list for that matter. So yeah, so who did you pick? Who was your final pick?
Ultimately had to go with Romelu Lukaku. And you know, he definitely did the business for West Brom. You remember when he scored that hat trick in game week 38 against Manchester United. I think it was Ferguson's last match in the Premier League. But that 16-17 season for Everton, where he had 25 goals, finished with 6 assists, just an absolute locomotive of a goal scorer. And he could not be contained. And I loved watching him that season. And for a team like Everton, it was, you know, you reset the premium striker price tag, and Lukaku became a marginally affordable player, getting those premium striker returns. And that was off the charts, 16-17.
I'm glad that you added him here, because I think that I was thinking about this with Alexis Sanchez a moment ago, and how it's kind of, it's, you know, the thing about like Michu and I don't know, Gareth Bale, Luis Suarez, even Robin Van Persie to a certain degree, is like all of them left before like their skills completely kind of abandoned them. And so it's easier to kind of remember them well, you know. And it's like when I think of Lukaku right now, I just think of him as kind of the like overweight, sulking forward that he was last season for Man United.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alexis Sanchez being the guy who just couldn't like shoot or pass or get along with any of his teammates, you know, just kind of like what the final version of him was also at Man United. And so it's like, when I think about them, it makes me forget how great they were. I mean, Romelu Lukaku at Everton was incredible. I mean, he was, you know, I totally agree with you. And he was never that expensive either, you know? And so it was kind of like, you could always have him in your team. It never broke the bank to have him. He was just such a great, you know, consistent goal scorer.
All right, let's run quickly through my bench. Goalkeeper, I don't like thinking about goalkeepers really in general. Yeah. And I didn't want to spend too much time thinking about who my bench goalkeeper was. I just threw in Matt Ryan because I really enjoyed following Matt Ryan earlier this season. And that's all we had to say about that. Two defenders on my bench. Cesar Azpilicueta, if you could build an old school FPL defender in a laboratory, it would come out looking like Cesar Azpilicueta. He doesn't get a lot of goals or a lot of assists, but he plays every single minute. He's great for bonus, and he's just old reliable, and I love
consistency. Yep.
John Lundstrom, you know, one for the new guys, and Lundstrom is just a price point hero at 4.0. Mm-hmm. And I also think that we can see ourselves in John Lundstrom. And yes. I think I only truly saw myself in Lundstrom when Sheffield United signed this Berg guy, and Lundstrom suddenly finds himself on the bench, and you're like, this guy is having like the best season of his life in the Premier League, and now he's on the bench. That could be me. That's like totally something that would happen to me. And I feel closer to Lundstrom for it.
Good. I'm glad he triggers your inner self-pity or something.
Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. I always get the short end of the stick.
That would happen to me too.
People do refer to me as a Lord, Lord Brandon, and that's fine too. And on the bench, I mean, this is heresy, but Kevin De Bruyne is on my bench as my last midfielder.
Probably should have cracked one of our starting 11s, but
yeah. But he's my beautiful baby boy. I love him. I think of all the players that we've talked about, if I were to be any player, if I were to have any play style, this is like my Kevin De Bruyne has my FIFA play style. I like to be like a midfield marauder and just bomb forward a lot and do a lot of tackling too. Do everything, a bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, it's like everything I said about David Silva applies to him. You know, like it's kind of like he just inherited the mantle, basically. I think because he plays a little deeper. Silva was always a little more advanced. And it actually makes Kevin De Bruyne even more impressive, right? So he could basically fill in as a defensive midfielder if need be, you know, because he's just so complete.
I want to mention two players. Where are we with Sergio Aguero and Harry Kane?
I don't know. They probably should have been on both of our teams.
Right, I think it's like it's the trap of these lists where you want to save a couple of spots for players that are sentimental and you really like them. And I think Aguero and Harry Kane are just they're too much like death from above. Like they're just too good at FPL.
Yeah, the first Harry Kane season, you know, when he was 5 million and like I think he scored 20 goals or something that year, and kind of came on late in the first half, like the first half of the season, and then was just unstoppable late. You know, had that amazing, I think it was 3 goals and 2 assists match against Chelsea. I think it was like was it Boxing Day or New Year's Day or something like that. That season in particular, I agree. I think you're right about Aguero, though. There's just – Aguero is so frustrating, too. It's like when I think about Aguero, my feelings are so complicated, you know. And so I'm making a favorite list. He doesn't crack it because I just – like I don't know. It's like he has helped and hurt my season so many times over the last 10 years, you know. And so it's hard to just fully love him, although I love watching him play, of course. I mean, you know, who doesn't love scrappy little guy, great finisher. We got a chance to see him in person, you know, during what might be the last Manchester Derby of all time. You know, we were there.
Isn't it crazy that we probably saw the last Premier League match of the season live?
Yeah. It's completely crazy. Yeah, it's so weird.
I got a sneak peek of your list, Josh, and I saw you put Alvaro Negredo above Aguero in your favorites list.
Yeah, he was on the long list. Yeah, there was Negredo actually was going to be my first, second, and third forwards on my all-time favorite team.
Yeah, break the rules.
Who was the other forward? He ended up going to Italy. Dzeko was kind of a fun player too.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Balotelli. Basically, all the non-Aguero forwards are more lovable than him, except Jesus.
Tevez.
Tevez. Yeah. Berbatov. I guess Berbatov was always Man United. He was a fun player though too.
He was at Spurs and Fulham for a while. Fulham was his last hurrah in the Premier League.
So. We didn't even name Clint Dempsey. Didn't he score 20 goals once as a midfielder? That would have been
I think he scored 17 goals in the 2011-12 season, the first season that we played FPL. But it's like we just missed the boat on huge midfielders, blockbuster midfielders like Lampard and Clint Dempsey having his 20-goal season and players like that. So obviously tons of players that are more or less modern players that we just missed the boat on.
Yeah, but that 10-11 season was a great season to – start watching now in hindsight, you know, not watching, but like starting to play fantasy because, you had the kind of the rise of Man City, but then you had Van Persie, you had, you know, Berbatov at his prime as well, you know, a lot of good ones. So, we put the call out, the couple of the listener picks. I'll just kind of note them here, because I think we're actually running a little bit long here, but Vinyl Richie says not a specific player, but a position. The attacking fullback wingback players include Baines, Alonso, Trent, Doherty, et cetera. And we probably actually could have mentioned Wolves too. In hindsight, I might've put Jimenez as like my third forward because last year, I think it was 5.5 million. You know, it was incredible.
Yeah, Doherty too. Definitely carrying on that Marcus Alonso modern tradition. So, bit mad respect.
Sharklar says, Bale, the one year he was a striking defender. I forgot that. I think it was maybe the first year we were playing. I think he was classified as a defender in the game. Ultimately, it was a Lundstrom thing where I think he played out of position all year. But he
played left back, right?
Yeah, left back. Yeah, exactly. It's in theory. Van Dijk's to watch for says, late stage David Silva. Nobody wants to buy him, but he's a dream to own. I don't even get this one. Yeah. Does he mean like early stage or like, I don't know.
I think he means like David now? Silva this season. I mean, if you
nobody
look at
wants
the,
him.
Well, at the start of the season, he was ticking along, and Silva is he's a classic player where, yeah, he, the season that you pointed out, rightfully so, an amazing season for FPL. And then Manchester City became just an FPL juggernaut, and there were too many other players that you needed to own on City. So yeah, you just bypass Silva every time.
Yeah, De Bruyne losing his chance at the assist record would be another bummer if the season actually gets canceled.
For sure.
Because he's going to win that at a trot if they play out the season. SPA Games says, Ian Hart at Leeds United from 95 to 04. I want to include at least one old one in here, Brandon. Attacking left back, awesome on free kicks. And that was playing Telegraph Fantasy Football. So it does precede us. There were a couple other picks, too, for players that were just much, much before us. A lot of people did say Alexis Sanchez, too. And so he was one that it seems like he really stuck out in people's minds as a great fantasy asset. I think, again, all the players that we talked about that didn't quite make our cut, Kane, and Aguero, made a lot of teams, a lot of people's kind of, you know, favorite player picks too. So, yeah. Cause I mean, it's like, they ask poker players, experienced poker players, what's your favorite hand? You know, like in Texas Hold'em, what's your favorite starting combination? And like at a certain point, they all just say two aces, you know, like just give me the best hand. That's my favorite.
Only one player, you pull 100 poker players, 99 of them say double aces, and one of them says Eden Hazard.
That's true. He didn't understand the question. That's really what. all right, Brad, that is our pod. I hope you enjoyed it. By the way, I thank you to Victor Skogang, a longtime supporter of the Always Cheating podcast. He's a producer patron, and he was the one who suggested this topic for a podcast. So thank you, Victor. I actually meant to thank him at the top of the pop, but I hope you're listening, Victor. And if so, thank you so much for the suggestion. All of our producers actually have the option of picking a topic for an Always Cheating podcast. And so we're looking for ideas for upcoming pods. So if you, if you're a producer or you want to become one, let us know what you'd like an upcoming podcast topic to be, and we'll try to cover it in either the regular pod or the Patreon podcast. So, just once again, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the podcast. And thank you sincerely, especially during this insane time, to anybody who, is supporting the cheaters.
Yeah, and as you said, big thank you to our producers. I'll run through that list right now. Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, De Big Gaffer, Bob Iscoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Key and Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forwick, Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine, Lelang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodichtel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, James Conroy. And just thank you to everyone out there who is listening, who's just choosing to press play on an FPL podcast during this moment in time. We just appreciate connecting with all you guys and maintaining this community that we love, and trying to put a little more positive energy out there when we're either struggling or we're bored or I don't know what. There's just a lot of stuff going on right now.
Totally. I have found personally that I have been listening to kind of my old favorite podcasts during this moment. Like, I mean, like old episodes, but I'm just like, I'm still listening to like the ones that I love, because I just want to hear normal voices, even if they're not talking about the stuff they would normally talk about. And so hopefully, if you're a listener to this podcast, it's fun just to have something out there to listen to. So definitely agree with you there, Brandon. And just quickly note, if you want to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, you can do so basically everywhere: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, so on. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's HAIL Cheaters. Instagram is at Hail Cheaters as well. Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us at any time, Hail, we're not getting a ton right now, so feel free to send it through. We'll probably respond. Hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can visit our website, alwayscheating.com, for this and more, including a brand new video that we posted. I think it's up on our website. I know it's on YouTube already, Brennan.
It's on YouTube. I had to start an Always Cheating YouTube channel, something we did not have before, but it exists. But if you want to see a cool 90-second video from our meetup in London at the Coin Laundry, where we had like 100 FPL managers come out and just share in the passion of FPL, you can see Josh and I talking. You can see scenes from the evening. It was a fantastic time. And big thanks to our people at the Blue Wire Network for hooking us up with a great videographer and making that a reality. And we're probably going to have another video coming our way soon in a couple of weeks that features our listeners actually talking about what they love about FPL and why they actually listen to FPL podcasts. So we hope to have more video content for you guys in the coming weeks. So go to alwayscheating.com and just click the video tab in the main menu and you can check that out. And I've also got videos up there of our appearances on the FPL FYI show when we were in London.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Also, the entire show of the FPL show with James Richardson and Jules Breach. You can watch Josh and I on that show there.
Nice.
I've got
job,
the video of Josh Landon doing Meet the Manager with Jonty, with Joe at Fantasy Football Scout. Loads of video content where you can sort of mine the old chapters of Always Cheating there when you're bored working from home.
Cool. That sounds great. And our breakfast clubs are on there too, I see now. So awesome. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope you have a good week. If you're home with your kids like I am, I hope you survive it. And anybody, I hope everyone's doing okay. We'll be back next week with something. I don't know. We'll figure out what that is, but we'll be back.
Yep. All right, everyone. Be well. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Bye. Oh, yeah. Say, Quinny, look in the microphone and say, Hail Cheaters.
Hail Cheaters.
No, this way. Look over here. Right, here's the microphone. Say, Hail Cheaters.
Hail Cheaters.
Nice job. All right.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.